you a question. Can you trust your heart? Why can't you trust your heart? It's desperately wicked. My heart will fool me. My heart will lead me in a way that is not good. My heart will lie to me. It'll tell me things and draw me in a place where I shouldn't be. So what do we do? If my heart's desperately wicked, I'm in a pickle. What do I do? What do I pray for? That's one. What else can we do? If my heart's desperately wicked, and who can know it? There's got to be a remedy besides. There's pray. Everything decided. We're going to look at some scriptures here this morning that deals with the heart. And we know the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We know that. And Jesus, we know Jesus said, your heart, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So if my heart's desperately wicked and who can know it, I'm a bipolar. Anybody with me? We're kind of bipolar in a way. We got a part of us wicked, and we know to live for God, we can't be wicked. Come on, we can't be wicked. So there's a balance here to understand how to measure this out. And we know for what comes out of our mouth, that's what's in our heart. So it's easy to say that if we just let our heart run free. What do you do when you was a teenager before you come to know God? I don't want to talk about it. We was in a pickle of a mess. We was runt, blowing people's pawns up and killing her. Oh, I tell you what, we could all tell stories of ungodly things that we did. But the thing is, we've learned to put a kind of a cap on our heart. Realize, man, my heart will lead me in a way that's not good. I'll get myself in trouble. I'll get myself hurt. And not just myself, I'll hurt others. Not meaning to, but every one of us, we affect everybody we're around. Every one of us here affects somebody. So in our heart and mind, to guard that heart, and we know for where your treasure is, we have to control where our treasure's at in our heart. Because if where your heart is, there will be your treasure also. So where my treasure is, that's where I need my heart. And if my heart's desperately wicked, I need to get treasuring things that won't guide me into paths of wickedness. So we know the Ten Commandments. What is one, the tenth commandment? Who can quote it real quick? Huh? Thou shalt not covet. Why do people covet? Billboards down the highway. Advertisements in between televisions. Magazines. Oh my goodness, we live in an advertisement world. And what is their whole fundamental motive in all those advertisements? What are they doing? They're wanting you to covet. That's all they want. I got something you need, and you've got to have it. And that's what they do. They prey on our very weakness of our heart that's desperately wicked. And they prey on it. That's their whole motive. Even though, they're practicing Bible. Man, that's a Bible principle. Yes, it is, but they're using it backwards because that's what the devil does. What did the devil do with Eve? Very first two adults here on planet Earth. And the devil comes up and deceives her by getting her to see something that it was desired. She looked at it and went, wow, I ain't going to die. I'll be a god. Wow. So she desired it. So she coveted. That's why that That's why that number 10 on the bottom deals with. That's why it's so important. That's why it's there. That's why they want to take them out of our courthouses, because it's so important, because the world's falling into a trash pit, into a hole, because everybody's coveting. Everybody do whatever you feels right to you, and you just do what you feel like. Just let your heart run wild, and boy, we got messes everywhere. We got messes with, oh God, you want to go there. All right. Let's look at Psalm 19:14. Sweetie, why don't you get that one ready? And Miss Lily, can you get Psalm 17:3? And Artie, can you get Psalm 39, verse 1? Miss Dixie, can you get Psalm 141, verse 3? So the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways. And according, here's that word, to the fruit of his doings. This whole lesson's been on bearing forth fruit out of our lives. Good fruit. Fruit that God can use. Fruit that will remain to our account and in the end. And that's what it's about. So real quick here, the word here, heart, means the will, even the intellect. Likewise, the center of everything about you deals with your heart. Everything about you comes from your heart. Who you are, everything about you comes from your heart. Your very will. And that's the part that November 15th, 1988, God changed my will. He kind of took my black heart out that was, I was destroying myself. I was a wreck. And he took that heart, dipped it in red blood, and somehow put it back in. And now I got another thought process inside. Besides my old nature, there's a new nature there that desires to do right, that desires God's word, that thirsts and hungers after righteousness, that wants to do things right. All right, go ahead and read that, honey. Did you hear that? It said, lit the words of my mouth, and notice the next phrase, and the meditation of my heart. Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So even though we know Jesus in New Testament is talking about, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We know in the New Testament also, for the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Then we see here in the Old Testament in Psalms where, lit thy words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. And why is it put together? Because David knew in the Psalms here, we know specifically that through the heart, if your heart's in check, your speech will also be in check. If my heart's in check where God wants it, my desires, the things I speak about, will be in check. My meditation is what? It's what I'm thinking about. It's what I'm meditating on. It's what I'm resting in. It's where my desires, my hopes, my plans, my dreams are all wrapped up inside my meditation of who I am. And it all comes from my heart. And Satan's constantly trying to throw little twigs of twistedness, trying to find that old nature to spark up an old flame of old you that hurts you, that hinders your walk with God, which also hinders the people around you, which also grieves the Holy One of God. Because he's as much as a person as we are, but yet he is all spirit, but yet he has feelings, he has desires, he has motives, and his motive is only to do one thing, and that's glorify Jesus Christ. And the devil understands them principles too, so he is fighting all he can do to make sure we have moments of, we have good times when we're on target, We have real good times when our prayer life's good, the Bible's good, our meditation's right, we're going forward with God, we're witnessing to people. Then we have them times of where we're not doing so good, where we're not on target like we should be, we're not, and the devil's found a way or a plug to get in somewhere in our minds and our heart to where, because he knows our heart will fool us. He knows that. He knows our heart will deceive it. He knows what's in there. He got Eve. Eve had perfect health, perfect diet, perfect atmosphere, perfect fellowship with God. She had everything. And he got her by one thing. That one fruit. I got to get her. And he got her by what she saw. So it's very important to watch what we see. What comes in our eye gate and our ear gate, because those are things that ends up getting in here. Because they get in here, it triggers that old nature, and that old nature ends up poisoning us. Now remember, the heart is what? Also, the will and intellect. What are other emotions that deal with the will and intellect? What are some other things? Anger, disappointments. Those all deal with the heart. You get disappointment in there, what comes next? Discontentment, then what comes next? I'm mad now. Hardy, you wouldn't do that, would you, brother? No. Miss Lily says, I could write a book on that one. You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you get this guy home. Man, I got stuff. I got a catalog. Woo! But it's interesting to think that we all have our moments of our unperfectness. And it's so, so important to watch those times, because it's knowing when they come before they come. If that makes sense to anybody, it's like you're walking on the ice. If you hear it cracking, you keep walking. No, that's time to go, ooh, let's get back to the bank real quick. Let's get back on shore. We're safe. So it's knowing them times, or you feel anger rising up. Somebody found my goat button, man, and they just pushed it. And you feel it, and you get to where you know when it's flaring up. And you sense it, and you go, I got it. Lord, help me here. Help me. Because if it gets any bigger, what ends up happening? My mouth opens up, and I start to... Then other things come out of my mouth, which is unkind sometimes. And so those are things we need to be watchful, because our testimony, Satan is trying to destroy our testimony where we have an ineffectiveness to others around us. So it's very important in them times of anger, them times is others to see you react in a different way. Man, I'd have been, somebody looks at you and they said, man, I'd have been mad, but they, what's different about them? They just seem to handle themselves so well. How'd they do that? Maybe enough to where they'd asked you. Can I ask you something? I'd have been mad if I was you. Why are you not mad? Well, I got the Lord on my side. He's taking care of everything. He's measuring everything out. He's given to every man according to his works. God's taking care of all that. That ain't my job. If I worry about that, I'm trying to be... Did you catch that? If you're getting mad about something, way something went over, you're trying to take the place of somebody else. Ain't that? Is not that his business? That's not your business to carry. That's not your business to put on your wagon and pull it around and behind you. That's the Lord's business. I will repay, saith the High and Lofty One. I will render to every man according to his works. I'm not God. But what happens? We end up being God for that. We have a little God moment. Little G God. Because I'll get them. Man, I got a word I tell them or two. Man, I'll let them have it. Yeah. And we're having a little God moment, and ends up affecting our testimony, and it affects the people we're around. And it's being very careful. Very careful. That's why it's so important. Because that's part of fruit from our lives. It's what the world don't got. The world don't got control. They give you a Valium if you can't handle. They'll give you a Xanax if you can't handle. They'll give you another pill, another antidepressant if you can't handle. They'll give you something. So it's very important to realize when those feelings come and they prick your heart to realize, okay, Lord, you said, God, I will vindicate, I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance belongeth unto me. That's your baby, not mine. And leave it. In other words, if you got the wagon behind you, you ever give something to God, 10 minutes later and you're thinking about it again, you picked it right back up. Lord, I don't want it in my head. And you give it to Him again, and you 10 minutes later, there it is again. Somebody's on your shoulder. Do you ever watch cartoons, Velmer Fudd? Come on. He had a little angel pop up on one side, and then he had the little angel on the other side. And then he had the little devil say, oh, just let him have it. And the other angel says, no, you shouldn't do that. And the devil says, oh, just let him have it. And the angel says, no, you shouldn't do that. And we have that. That's real life. It might not be an angel popping up, but there's somebody whispering in your head. We wrestle not against flesh and bone, but against spirits and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a devil. There are nymphs. There are demons. There are very, very real. Some folks don't like Star Wars. Every time I watched it, it was where the force be with you. I'm thinking, may the Spirit of God be with you. Because without Him, you can do nothing. So that's why I like. All right, who had next verse? 17:3. Go ahead, Miss Lily. Oh, so he made it a point in himself. And listen, how important this is. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me. And shall find nothing. Wouldn't it be great with God? You got your slate is perfectly clear inside you. You're holding nothing, not one grudge, not one little, not little dot, not little cross of a T. You're carrying nothing. Everything is over to God. Everything. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me. Thou shalt find nothing. Because I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. If you feel them emotions coming up of anger or whatever or disappointment, bite your tongue and just say, Lord, help me, and walk away. Do what you got to do instead of just blurting it out. Because when you blurt it out, your testimony's online. And so our heart's very... And if we know it's deceitfully wicked above all things, we know that. It's get that treasure. My treasure should be what? What should be our treasure? Huh? Well, that's the ultimate goal, but what's our treasure here on earth? What should be our main source, our very desire of our heart? What should it be here on earth? That's it. And everything else falls second to it. Everything. God should be our focus and center of everything in our life, of glorifying Him. So every decision, every motive, everything I go through, it all must be designed to look towards Him. And the thing is, who believes God's omniscient? Two people in the whole church. Three. Four. Four people. It means He's in control of everything, despite the good and the bad. He allows things. Everything that's come in my life, the good and the bad, God has stepped aside or whatever, as Job, and let bad things happen. And they're all to shape me into an image. And whose image is He shaping me into? His very own. So my heart, everything about me, my will, my intellect, everything. In other words, everything about you comes from here. And to guard it with everything in us. Who's got the next one? I think Miss Dixie did, didn't she? Go ahead, Brother Artie. Wow. I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. In other words, there's people around him. There's people of influence around him, and he knew that. And he goes, I will put a bridle in my mouth. And what's a bridle do? It's amazing to take a 2,000-pound horse, and I can turn his head this way, and I can control that critter. I can turn him. Or I can pull this way, and I can make him go that way. Or I can go, whoa, and make him stop on a dime. And I'm only 180-plus pounds. None of your business. And 80, 100, none of your business, yeah. But he says, I will put a bridle in my mouth while the wicked is before. And the wicked, those are lost, unlearned people. So it's very important to control the tongue, because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Like I said, it don't take 5 minutes to figure out where somebody's heart's at because their mouth will start telling me. I know that because that's what God says. He said it. He makes it real easy. You can find it real quick. If they're having a bad day, it's going to be really short, blunt words come out of their mouth. It might not be cuss words, but there'll be a little growl with each word, and then you'll know they're having a bad day. And it wouldn't have mattered. You'd say, I got out of the wrong side of the bed. Okay. Well, if you'd have stayed in bed, the bed would have fell in. So it wouldn't have mattered. So you just get up and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, did he say just good days? No, that's more importantly the bad days. David, half these psalms that we find with David, he is running for his life. From Saul chastening, from his son chastening him. Can you imagine your boy hunting you down when you become and you got to run from him because he's after your business. And he's going to kill you. You can't even imagine that right now. It's like, no, ain't no way. Oh, David did. God bless his heart. Boy, hunt him down. Going to kill his deceitfully lying behind his back. Moving the people's heart to the other side. Boy, if I was king, boy, I'd listen to all your problems. Moving the people. Boy, he was deceitful. Well, Absalom got what God he had coming, though, didn't he? So, very important to guard our heart. That way fruit abounds out of life. And I'm out of time again. Who had one more verse? 141. Who had that? Verse 3. That's all right. You want to read that? 141, verse 3. Almost to the end of Psalms. Set a watch. But who's he asking to set a watch? He's asking the Lord to set the watch. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. You set the watch. And our very guideline is that book. So that by my words I may edify and lift up others around me. Encourage people around me. Not drag them down, not... All my words out of our Christian's mouth ought to be fruit to glorify Him. Let's pray. Father, dear God, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Help us, oh God, please, to realize our heart is desperately wicked. But dear God, we have You, Lord. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. We have a help, Lord, in You. And we know if God be for us, who can be against us? So we have a will whether we want to willingly submit to you or willingly submit to self. Oh God, help us not to be selfish. Lord, help us to be children of God that glorify you, that bear fruit for the kingdom of God. That you be glorified. Bless the service to come, dear God. Save that soul nearest hell. Lord, have your will and way in every heart and life. Meet every need, dear God, that we cannot see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.